Hi, I'm Lorraine Raff.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media.
Once the snow flies, you have two choices on how to spend the winter: cooped up inside at home or outside taking full advantage of the thick white powder coating nearby slopes. What sport you choose may depend on age and inclination. Skiing has been around for thousands of years, while snowboarding is barely half a century old. Whether you're a novice or expert, falls and spills are inevitable.
As both skiing and snowboarding increase in popularity, we're learning more about what injuries to watch out for, along with prevention strategies to minimize risk. Joining us for a look at winter sports injuries is orthopedic surgeon Dr. Navin Dugal, who recently co-authored a paper for the American Journal of Orthopedics. Formerly chief of the Orthopedic Foot and Ankle Service at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, Dr. Dugal has done research in biomechanics at the Center for Advanced Orthopedic Studies at Harvard Medical School and is currently in private practice at Syracuse Orthopedic Surgeons in Syracuse, New York.
Thank you for coming on to Take Care, Dr. Dugal.
Great to be here.
There are so many different winter sports and then, of course, the accompanying injuries that I imagine it runs the gamut. There's downhill skiing, snowboarding,
right,
cross-country skiing, ice skating, and hockey, I think, would be the big ones, though we should throw in snowshoeing as well. What are the most common winter sports injuries that you see?
Well, just like you said, there's lots of different sports out there that occur in the wintertime. And, you know, most commonly, I'll see sprains and strains, but oftentimes there will be more serious injuries such as fractures and dislocations and, unfortunately, head injuries and spine injuries that can happen with a lot of these activities. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, the actual numbers of these injuries, if you look at snow skiing, there's approximately 150,000 injuries a year. Snowboarding, another 150,000. When you look at ice skating and hockey, it's almost 100,000. And the actual number that surprised me the most was tobogganing and sledding, which is almost 100,000 just alone with that sport.
When we are talking about injuries and the severity of injuries, is it because that most of these sports, you're moving at a pretty fast speed?
Right. And that's part of the issue here is that with a lot of these sports, having the protective gear because of the speeds is just as crucial. And there's a certain degree of skill level that's required when you're performing these type of maneuvers and activities at that type of speed level.
Before we get into some of the injuries that we'll be discussing, talking about who is most likely to be injured, obviously, when you're out there skiing, I'm sure it could happen to anyone at any time, no matter what your level is, because we know people that are great athletes, someone cuts right. them off and there's nothing they can do. But as you get older, are you more prone to sustaining injuries?
Well, you know, I think there's some credence in that if you are older and you are not doing the appropriate stretching before a sport, then there is going to be a slightly increased risk of having an injury. Specific to snowboarding and skiing, we do see more younger people who come in with snowboard injuries, and that may be related to the fact that this is a younger sport. More younger people are involved, and they tend to maybe take risks that some older people may not take.
So you mentioned two things that we want to go back to and just get a little more information about: how important protective gear is, and then warming up. But let's talk about the protective gear, because there's certainly a lot of it available. Helmets,
sure.
You know, helmets are something that can help reduce the severity of some injuries. But what are
right.
some other things that you recommend to, you know, everything
right.
within our control to prevent an injury?
Right. So I'm going to get back to the helmets because I just want to emphasize how important that point is. Helmets are crucial. 35% of head injuries can be avoided by using a helmet while skiing or snowboarding or sledding. So I'd encourage anybody who's going to be participating in any of these winter activities to use a helmet. Very important. With certain activities such as snowboarding, using wrist guards, there's been some evidence to suggest that using a wrist guard can prevent upper extremity injuries, which are the most common with snowboarders. With skiers, using the appropriate types of boots and bindings has been shown to decrease the rate of knee injuries, such as an ACL rupture. So I think there's a lot of evidence out there that suggests that using the appropriate equipment is important in preventing injury.
I think it's incredible because I think back when I learned to ski in high school and we just went out there, no helmet, no nothing. And now people are really suited up. I mean, we're taking the sport more seriously, but we're also taking care of ourselves better in terms of understanding, you know, the impact of a serious injury on the slopes. In terms of that sort of thing, we're all going to fall. And I think that the impulse that we always have is to put our hands out. And then, of course, that puts us at risk for something happening to our wrist. Is it better to sort of figure out a way to quickly duck and roll? I mean, what's the thinking in terms of if you're going to fall, what should you do?
Right. So there is actually some instruction out there about how you should fall. So number one, if you're going to fall, don't fight it. It's important to just go ahead and fall. With respect to if you're skiing and you're going to fall, keeping your skis together is important. Falling forward with your weight going forward with your hands together as well would decrease the risk of an injury. Specific to skiing, a lot of skiers will develop a knee injury when their skis are separated. And when their skis separate, there's an increased risk that they're going to twist their leg, twist their ski, and cause an injury to their knee.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking about winter sports injuries with Dr. Navin Dugal. He's formerly chief of the Orthopedic Foot and Ankle Service at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. And he's currently in private practice at Syracuse Orthopedic Surgeons. We're talking about whether there's a strategy, if you have 1 or 2 seconds to prepare for a fall, to lessen the severity of your injury. You had mentioned earlier about warming up and stretching before beginning the activity. I know there's been mixed science, really, on how important stretching is, let's say, for runners. There's been some evidence that that actually signals the body to brace for an injury, and it does the opposite of what people thought it did. Is that true with stretching right before you go out on the slope as well?
Well, you know, I think with respect to stretching and conditioning with winter sports, there is some evidence to say that injuries tend to happen more when patients are tired. When patients are at the end of the day, the last run of the day, and they may be fatigued, they're going to be at increased risk of an injury. So I think there's some evidence to say that in endurance training, being able to have the appropriate muscle strength and conditioning is going to be beneficial. With respect to skiing, for example, making sure that your quadriceps muscles are strong before ski season, I think there's some evidence to suggest that will be beneficial. And with snowboarders, having appropriate side-to-side or proprioceptive control in the ankle is beneficial as well.
I want to get back to something that you said about about skis separating and the twisting, because I think that, you know, when we think of a fall, we think of a fall. But if we're going to do damage to ourselves, which is the worst to do? Something that's based on impact or something that results because we've twisted our body in an unnatural way?
Well, I think that with skiing, because of the fact that there's a large ski attached to your foot, the amount of torque or twisting that can happen at the knee is going to be more than if you were just to twist your leg if you're wearing a shoe. And the other thing that concerns me about skiing and the potential to cause a significant amount of damage in a joint such as a knee is the speeds that are involved. Skiers tend to go at significant amount of speeds, and when they fall, if they are going to twist, they can really injure their knee. And that's why it's not uncommon for us to see patients wearing a ski boot have a injury to the knee joint because of the amount of twisting that happens. And sometimes if there's issues with their bindings and not releasing, it can cause more damage to the knee itself.
A lot of people come home from a day at the slopes and they've got the usual aches and pains and, you know, it'll wear off in a couple of days. But how about that versus something that causes discomfort and you realize, gee, maybe I did something to myself? How do you know when you should just be treating something at home or whether it needs medical attention?
Right. And that's a tough one. That's a tough one to answer. I would say that if a patient had pain with weight bearing, if they found that they had loss of motion of a joint such as their shoulder or in their knee, or they were, really found that they had an inability to do certain activities that they normally would do, those are, I think, all good reasons to be seen and evaluated. And you know, trying to figure out if somebody has a break versus a bruise really does require a clinical evaluation of that patient. And if warranted, that patient will have an X-ray done to rule in or rule out a fracture.
If we try to tough it out, are we going to do damage? I mean, I think to myself, I had a skiing buddy, and she was a daredevil, and she came off the slopes one day, and she said, my ankle hurts a little. And she kept walking on it and walking on it and walking on it, 2 weeks. And I think what had been like a small crack became much worse. Is that really what happens if you try to tough it out and you need to see medical attention?
Well, I think every patient's different, but, you know, I don't think patients need to suffer. And if you're having pain with just doing normal activities after a day on the slopes, that needs to be evaluated. And the best way to do that is to see your healthcare provider, and they're able to give you an opinion about if this needs to be investigated further.
Dr. Naufendugel is formerly chief of the Orthopedic Foot and Ankle Service at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. He's done research in biomechanics at the Center for Advanced Orthopedic Studies at Harvard Medical School, and he's currently in private practice in Syracuse, New York. Dr. Dugel, thank you so much.
My pleasure.